We started reading the parashiyos of the Mishkan, of course. There's a lot to talk about with regard to the Mishkan, but it requires a great deal of work. And honestly, it's a full-time project. I don't have the time to put in to really go through the Mishkan well. I'm learning a few different sugyas and shas, and mostly Masechet Shabbos and Masechet Pesachim. So whatever I'm able to accomplish, that's what we're able to accomplish. But we're going to focus our attention today on the Kruvim. And if you'll notice, the title I gave it is Kruvim Shel Moshe and Kruvim Shel Shlomo. Obviously, Moshe was in charge of building the Mishkan, and Shlomo the Beis HaMikdash. And we would expect that whatever command God gave to Moshe that defines the essence of the Kruvim, that should apply by transferal, so to speak, over to the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, everything that was in the Mishkan parallels that which was in the Mikdash. And yet, what we're going to see, Amir Hashem, as we go along, is a certain discrepancy between Moshe Rabbeinu's Mishkan and Shlomo Melech's Mikdash, especially with regard to the Kruvim. So back in Parshas Truma that we read a few days ago, the Torah said, the Asisa Shnayim Kruvim Zahav, Miksha Tasa Osam. So before we read the next three words in the Pasuk, let's just ask the following question. How many Kruvim are there? It's very explicit here. There's no room for doubt. It says Shnei Kruvim. There are two Kruvim. And that we know. From the Aron HaKodesh, there were two Kruvim that came out on top. And Mishnei Ktzavos HaKapores. Right, the Kapores was the covering over the Aron, and there were two extremities, so to speak, one on this side and one on that side, and the Kruvim came from these two extreme points of the Kapores. Kruv Echad Mikotzimizeh, Kruv Echad Mikotzimizeh.
Why do you say there were two Kapores?
No. There's one Kapores, but two Kruvim.
On the Kapores.
Right. And each Kruv came out of one end of the Kapores. There's only one Kapores that covers the Aron. And from each end, Mikatsu Mikatsa, comes out a Kruv. And there are two Kruvim that will, in a sense, cover the Aron on top. It's called in the Pasuk Chaf, Parse Knofayim Lamala. And that's called Sochechin Bechanfehem Alak Poris. So they are Sochechim. I don't know how to translate the word Sochechim. I would need a
shading, covering.
It's called covering. Yeah, we'll call it covering. There may be a better. Yeah, probably have a better word. Okay. Now Rashi says that. Oh. Yeah. This. Does that happen about like my Shia too, or only a my Shia? Just curious. All right. So the pasuk seems to be a little bit superfluous, says Rashi, because the pasuk says on the one end that you should make two kruvim, right? That's the opening pasuk that we have, Yasisa Shnayim Kruvim, and then the pasuk goes on and says, where are these Shnei Kruvim? It's Mishnei Ktzos HaKaporis. So the Torah already in Pasuk Yudches seems to have covered its bases here. We already know A, that they're two Kruvim, and B, that they come from the two Ktzos HaKaporis. Why then does the Torah have to add in Pasuk Yudches what seems to be superfluous? This is Rashi's problem. It says, Vasei Kruv Echad Mikotze Mizeh, Kruv Echad Mikotze Mizeh. What did I fail to understand in Pasuk Yudches that was clarified in Pasuk Yudches? So Rashi says, Shelo Tomar, Shnayim Kruvim Lechol Kotze Ukotze. You might come up with the number four. Because if you only have Pasuk Yudches, it's possible to say that the two Kruvim are referring to each one of the two Ktzos HaKaporis. So from this Kotze you have two Kruvim, and from the other Kotze you have two Kruvim. So that would come to the total number of four. And Rabbo said, please make a note of this, because this is going to be a big point when we get to the Mishkan of, or the Mikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. There's a Havamina here that how many Kruvim are there? Not two, but four. And in order lafuki to exclude that possibility, the Torah went out of its way to be very explicit in Pasuk Yud Tes, and it says Vasei Kruv Echad Mikotzim Yisro. Kruv Echad Mikotzim. It's not that two kruvim are coming from each kotzer, totaling the number four, but rather it's one kruv from each kotzer. Lechach says Rashi Hutzach Lefarish. The Torah felt compelled to spell it out. Kruv echad mikotzer mizet. So there's only one kruv on each kotzer, and the total number is two kruvim. Okay, then in addition to this, the Torah goes on to tell us various laws about the Aron itself, and one of the laws about the Aron that's going to be very relevant to our discussion today is the Lo Yasuru Mimenu. There's a special law that says that the sticks that had to be ringed through the rings on the Aron in order to lift the Aron, they had to be permanent. You weren't allowed to take them out and put them back in. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh has a discussion about a parsha in Melachim. Now, in order to appreciate the Or HaChaim, I think it would be worthwhile for us to take a look at the psukim in Parshas Melachim, the first chapter of Parshas Melachim. I'm sorry, the sixth chapter of Melachim Aleph is dedicated to the building of the Mikdash, the specifics about how Shlomo HaMelech built the Mikdash. And it says over there that there were not two kruvim, but four kruvim. Because in addition to the two kruvim that came out of the Ktzei HaKapores, there were another two kruvim. And the Pasuk says, Vayas bidvir, dvir is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, Shnei kruvim atzei shemen eser amos komoso.
Devir is usually only kodesh kadoshim.
Correct.
The inner chamber.
And now what we're seeing here, this is something amazing, is there are two kruvim that are eser amos komoso. V'chamesh amos knaf hakruva achas. These are gigantic kruvim. You'll see soon that these kruvim, which are 10 amos high, are actually situated on the ground itself. These are not the two kruvim that come out of the kapores. And the Archaim notices this, and he says, Od Matsinu, in addition to what we find in the instructions to the first Mishkan, we find that Shlomo HaMelech added another two kruvim, Shnayim Nosafim, Al Mashasa Moshe. So what's the magic number as far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned? How many kruvim are there?
Four
kruvim. And he says, Ashalot Tziva Hashem. It seems like Shlomo HaMelech on his own initiative was adding two kruvim. And not only that, these two kruvim were radically different than the two of Moshe Rabbeinu. The two kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, Nireki HaKosiv Ramzam. So he says, there's a difficulty here. How could it be that the parsha in the Torah itself, Torah Shebichtav, indicates two kruvim, and yet Shlomo would add another two kruvim? So the Chaim says that there's a remes. In other words, it wasn't Shlomo HaMelech who invented the other two kruvim, yesh me'ayin, out of nothing, but he found a remes in the parsha in Truma to add another two kruvim. And why is that? How do you see a remes here? So he says that there's an extra pasuk here, pasuk yutes. And pasuk yutes seems to repeat exactly what we saw in pasuk yudches. And he says, kol hakosev miyutar. Again, I'm not reading every word. If you're following me, you'll see the words that I want to highlight. He says, Why did the pasuk have to add something that we already know and repeat itself? And not only that, he says, Lama Omar od al shnei ktsavav, ktsosav. In other words, it says here in pasuk yudches, which we already saw in pasuk yudches, that it's kruv echad mikotza mizeh, kruv echad mikotza mizeh. Says the Archaim HaKadosh, and this is something that Rashi doesn't exactly spell out for us, but maybe you can fit this into Rashi. Achein Ramas Hashem is hinting somewhere between the lines, Beis Kruvim Sheyasu Beis Olamim. Now the phrase Beis Olamim is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash as opposed to the Mishkan. Usually, you know, you won't find that the Mishkan is called Beis Olamim. Beis Olamim means something that's eternal and will always last forever. Now you may ask, well, is the first Mikdash of Shlomo Melech considered a Beis Olamim? And why do we use the term Beis Olamim even for the second Mikdash? Because even the second Mikdash was destroyed. Chazal say elsewhere, that's not the main point for us today, that the first Mikdash was a preparation for the second Mikdash, the second Mikdash was a preparation for the third Mikdash, and the third Mikdash will physically last forever. So therefore, even the first two Batei Mikdashos are considered part and parcel of the entity, or shall we say, the enterprise of building the third Mikdash. And therefore, each Mikdash in itself, in contrast to the Mishkanos, and when I say Mishkanos, there's more than just one Mishkan. There was a Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, and then there was another Mishkan in Shiloh, and another Mishkan in Nov and Givon, and so forth and so forth. But what's common to all these Mishkanos is they're temporary by very nature, and they're never called a Beis Olam. But now, let's take a look at the Beis Olam. Says the Archaim, there's a remez, there's an indication here in the Parsha in Truma, that when we get to the Beis Olamim, namely when we get to build the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to have to add another two Kruvim. Ukeneged Kruve Beis Olamim, Sharamas Betchilas Dvarov, with regard to the Kruvim of the Mikdash, the extra two Kruvim, which are hinted at in Pasuk Yutes, Moshe Rabbeinu says, or I should say, HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Viasei, which means in the future tense. This is very strange. Take a look in Pasuk Yud Ches, and it says, Viasisa, and that obviously addresses Moshe Rabbeinu in an immediate, urgent sense. And then in Pasuk Yud Ches, he changes the sense, he changes the grammatical term to Viasei, not now, but sometime in the future. Says the Archaim, Lo Dibur Elav Benochach, he's not talking to him and telling him, you know, this is what you should do, Moshe Rabbeinu, now, Ela Kimitzaveh, he's hinting at a mitzvah, Al Asiyah Acheres. So that's the Vaseh down in the future, Lizman Acher, sometime down the line, Shemavad Shnei Akruvim and his Karim Behem. Miktsosa Kaporas, in addition to the two Kruvim that are attached to the Kaporas that come from each end of the Kaporas, Od Yasu in the future, Maisa Acher, a different kind of Maisa, of Kruv Echad Mikotze Mizeh. Okay, and that's Mikotze Mizeh, not connected to the Kaporas itself, but Heim Bifnei Atzmon. In other words, they're parallel perhaps to the two ends of the Kaporis, but they're not attached to the two ends of the Kaporis. V'chein aso Shlomo. And this is the secret of Shlomo HaMelech. Shahayu Ragleim, that the feet or the base of each of these two extra Kruvim was no Gimbaretz. Right, they didn't come out of the Ktzea Kaporis like the two Kruvim which Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, and that command obviously is an essence of the base HaMikdash, even for Shlomo HaMelech. But what Shlomo HaMelech does is, we didn't bring all the psukim before this, but what Shlomo HaMelech does in these psukim that we saw is he sets up an additional two kruvim on that are parallel to the ends of the kapores from here and from there that are very, very tall. And where are they based? Yeah. On the ground itself. Nogim Ragleim, Nogim Ba'aretz. And it could be that the Chidah, who lived way after the Archaim, without quoting the Archaim, is aware of this remez in the parasha. Because if you take a look at number 8, the Chidah, who lived about 2.5 centuries ago, the Archaim was 5 centuries ago, he says, Kasha Eich Shlomo HaMelech Olav HaShalom, Shlomo HaMelech, may he rest in peace, Asa Shnei Kruv Macherim, Atzei Shemen, Munochim Al HaKarka, Ze Bitzad Ze. How could it be? And the truth is that you might answer that Shlomo Melech had a special nevuah. But that's problematic. Why is that problematic? Yeshlomar b'nevuah hakol miyad Hashem. All of Hiskiel, there was a certain spirit of nevuah that sort of rested on Shlomo Melech. Vakol beruach hakodesh asher imo. He says, im kol zeh kasher. You might say that Shlomo Melch had a special nevuah, as if to say a mandate from God that he has to add another two kruvim, but that contradicts a very, very fundamental principle in halacha, which is halachic principle throughout Shas, throughout halacha. Ein navi rashoi l'chadish dov miyata. No, Shlomo Melch is telling us, as far as the Beis Olamim is concerned, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of building that bias by adding another two kruvim, and I got that through a nevuah? That doesn't work. There's no such thing as changing the halacha through nevuah. Nimtzeis, the Haggadah Shmuel, if you take a look in the Haggadah of Shmuel, which is a special insight into the Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu Masar Megillas Beis HaMikdash LeMoshe, when the pasuk says "Vata po amod imadi," Moshe Rabbeinu received some sort of a megillah, perhaps what we call an architectural plan of the Beis Hamikdash, and Moshe handed that to Yoshua, and Yoshua transmitted it to the Zekanim. In Cain, therefore, we would have to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu of Hashem tzivo Cain, that even Moshe Rabbeinu himself had some sort of a tzivui which was given to him, not, shall we say, b'Torah Shebichsav, but maybe in Torah Shebalpeh, in this so-called Megillas Beis Hamikdash, which we know about through the Haggadah Shmuel. And Moshe Rabbeinu already had, from the original mitzvah, in a sense, a twofold mitzvah. He had the mitzvah of Torah Shebichsav, which was to create two kruvim. And then he had the Torah Shebalpeh, which was initially given to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Megillas Beis Hamikdash, which included another two kruvim, and that was a mitzvah l'doros. So it's not based on some sort of nevuah. It could be that Shlomo Melch needed this nevuah if he didn't receive the direct transmission, but it's not that Shlomo Melch built the Beis Hamikdash in that way because of the nevuah. That would violate the principle of what? Help me out here. Hey, Navi. Okay, we have to get the language here. And he says, Vizeh Yirmos Kefel. And now we find the remez to this Torah Shebalpeh, this so-called Megillas Beis Hamikdash, in the Torah Shebichsav. Because you know the Chazal understood, the Vilna Gaon made a whole discipline out of this, that everything that we know from Torah Shebalpeh has to have some sort of an allusion in Torah Shebichsav. Where's in Torah Shebichsav? And the Pella is that the Chidah doesn't quote the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, but he says the same idea. V'chein romeis mibein shnei kruvim asher al aron ha'edus. In other words, since it says that mibein shnei kruvim, so let's go back to the pasuk. It says, oh, we don't have it here, I'm sorry. Does anybody have a chumash? See if you can find mibein shnei kruvim. In any event, in that pasuk, mibein shnei akruvim asher al aaron al ma'acherim yesh. Right, he's talking. The Torah is talking about shnei kruvim that are on the aaron, not the shnei kruvim that are attached to the aaron. Al ma'acherim v'zeu al akaporis yupnei akruvim shel eitz v'acherim pneim ish al achiv. Okay, and he quotes this from one of the great Sephardic Rishonim, Ravi Diel. And if you take a look at Rashi in Divrei Hayomim, Rashi says, "V'hayu kanfei akruvim matim min akosel v'sochim al akaporas v'al ha'aron b'kanfeihem milvad akruvim ha'elu hayu kruvim shasa Moshe." So the two kruvim that seem to go on top of the kapores, those were an additional two kruvim milvad, in addition to the kruvim ha'elu shasa Moshe min hakapores, adayin adukim ubedubakim al hakapores v'omdim olav v'altisma sha'arek mochein osa eser shulchanos v'yud menoris levad me'osin shel Moshe.
Now, are you looking for mibein shnei hakruvim?
Yeah. What pasuk is that?
Kafbet.
Chavtet. Okay.
Chavbet.
Chavbet. Great. So for some reason it got left out here in the print, but there's an indication in that pasuk says the chidah that there's another two kruvim that have to be added. Now, Rabosan, what we have sort of accepted upon ourselves.
But it says I'll go by Aaron our group. So it must be the first small ones.
But it says the following. It says Asher al Aron Ha'edus. That means it's not connected to the Aron Ha'edus, but it's al Aron Ha'edus. So there are two kruvim that are connected to the Aron Ha'edus, and there's another two kruvim that come from the other sides that go up 10 amas high, and they're on top of the Aron.
But this is also a question. It said that Hashem, God spoke from between them. So between which ones?
The kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, not the kruvim of, again, from both sides. What our job is today, and the doc is touching on this question, is why did Shlomo Melch add Shnei Kruvim? Again, he had a Tzivui and he had a Nevuah, but Ein Ovi Rashoi Levin. So there was a Remez, whether it's the Remez of the Arachayim HaKadosh from the extra Pasuk, whether it's the Remez of this Pasuk Kompeis according to the Chida. But at the end of the day, it's fascinating that the Mishkan survived with what? With two kruvim, and yet the Mikdash of Shlomo Melch required another two kruvim. And the rational mind, or at least the heart, would like to understand. Doc, is there any way we could shut off the phone, or you're expecting some maybe some emergency call? I don't know.
If I get any calls,
you might get some call. Can you put it on vibrate?
Okay. I might put it on vibrate.
Yeah, but after you put on vibrate, you have to put it next to your heart. So since we're talking about the heart of the matter is why the extra two kruvim? And if you take a look at the Torah's Moshe, this is the Chasam Sofer, which is number 9. He says, Yesh l'dasim kein lama ksiv b'tchil al shnei ktsosav. And he says, the mashma shnei kruvim al kol kotzeh. And Gamal Loshim v'yasei kruv, having the name of Asisa, Lanias Daiti Shakarish Baruch Hu, Nosan Lo Rishus, Lasos Kruvim Kfulim Im Yirtze. The Chasam Sofer has another approach entirely. Again, we're not going to focus our attention so much on the Chasam Sofer, but you should know, as a matter of historical fact, that this extra set of Kruvim baffled the minds of the giants of Torah throughout the generations. To such an extent that this double pasuk, which we saw in the Archaim is a remez to the extra kruvim of Shlomo, the Chasam Sofer sees that as a remez that Moshe Rabbeinu has the right, if he so wills it, to add another two kruvim. And in fact, we'll see in Parshas Pekudei, by Yaakov Pekudei, that he did not add two kruvim. So now the plot goes even thicker. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give reshus to Moshe Rabbeinu to add two kruvim? And yet Moshe Rabbeinu did not take advantage of that permission. Who took advantage of that permission?
Shlomo
HaMelech. So what's going on over here? So again, Rabbi Moshe, let's just summarize. There are two historical periods. And what's fundamentally different between the two is that the first historical period, that's the 40 years in the Midbar, there were two kruvim, whereas the later historical period at the time of the second Migdash, of the building of the Migdash, time Shlomo, had four kruvim. Even if I accept the Chasam Sofer that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was given the green light to add two kruvim, Moshe Rabbeinu never took advantage of that opportunity, of that permission. And therefore, the question again, you know, how should I say, bounds back at us. It rebounds. Why was it necessary for Shlomo to add the two kruvim? Moshe Rabbeinu did not see himself compelled to add the extra two kruvim. That's what he writes in the Ber Yosef, one of the contemporary writers here, which goes on to the next page. Yesh li tein tam, eiza kavana osa Shlomo by sheni od shnei kruvim. Shahayu omdim ala aretz no saf le kruvim shala kapores shahayu bimei Moshe. What was the reasoning behind these two kruvim? Again, you can add whatever you like, and psukim ahen, and then you talk about the nevuah. But there must have been some burning or urgent need, compelling need for the extra two kruvim. And he goes on to say, "V'im amnam shavasa kol pi nevuah shemaslo David aviv." Interesting. Now the Ber Yosef adds another element here to this nevuah. We don't find lechora anywhere that Shlomo Melch got a specific nevuah to add the two kruvim. But he says, if you look in Divrei Yomim, you get the impression that Hakol b'ksav yad miyad Hashem olai hiskil kol melechas hatavnis, that David HaMelech received some sort of a ksav. Perhaps this is the, if you recall, the Megillas Beis HaMikdash that we spoke about before in the context of the Chidah, that there was some sort of an oral tradition that was committed to writing. It was passed down from one generation to the other. So David HaMelech received this oral tradition and he passed it to Shlomo HaMelech. Ulam k'moshal etzem akruva v'ofer amidosim avur b'sfarim ha-kidosh ha-isa b'zeh ho-ra le'inyan han-hagosam b'torah v'avodas Hashem. He says the following, that all our great thinkers over the course of history have always dedicated themselves to the question of what is the symbolic message of the Kruvim. We know that the Aron is the Torah, and now the Kruvim are telling us something about the way we should serve Hashem through the Torah. Al Kain, therefore we have to ask the question, Masha Osa Shlomo Ochne Kruvim, Sha'om Dim Ala Oretz, in addition to the two Kruvim on the Kapores, Bivadai, we should ask the same question that the giants asked throughout history regarding the two Kruvim in the Mishkan, Mahoisa Kavana Shlomo. Why was there a special command, a mandate to build into the second Migdah, into the Beis HaMikdash, I'm sorry, an extra set of Kruvim? There must be some sort of a message inherent in the other two Kruvim that somehow is relevant specifically to Shlomo and his time period about Esek HaTorah, about the Torah itself. In the same way that the first two Kruvim are going to tell us about the Esek HaTorah, which we'll soon see, so too the additional two Kruvim have to reveal something additional about the Esek HaTorah. Now, The Ber Yosef had quoted a pasuk in Divrei Yomim. You'll see the pasuk here in front of you. Now, the Meshech Chachma, that's Rav Meir Simcha Midvinsk, he wants to know about the lav, the iser of lo yasuru mimenu. Why is it that the poles have to be permanently attached through the rings to the aron, and therefore if somebody removes those poles, he gets malchus for violating a lav in the Torah? And with regard to the Mizbeach, the Torah is going to tell us, and that's, I believe, at the end of Parshas Truma, if somebody could look it up there in Chav Zayin Zayin, all these Parshas sort of mesh into one, and it says, V'yu abadim b'seis oso, that they were badim also for carrying the Mizbeach during the 40 years in the Midbar, and the Shulchan also. But in the case of the Aron, we find something that we don't find in the case of any other Klei Mikdash. The other Klei Mikdash were carried by poles, and yet there was no Iser of Lo Yosur Mimenu, it wasn't permanent. But in the case of the Aron, Habadim Eim Kvuim Bo Tomid, Halo Domeru, there must be some message here. V'nir Al Pi HaMedrash, Sheha Aron Romeis L'Kesed Torah Shehu Munach V'chol Misha Rotze Yikach, it's free for the taking. And Talmud Chochem Tzarech Sa'ad L'Tomcho. It's interesting that a Talmud Chacham who dedicates himself exclusively to the study of Torah, how's he going to support himself? So he needs a certain sa'ad, a certain help, a certain aid. And where's that aid going to come from? So that's what Chazal say, that an usher should be matil malai lekiso. He should give some money into the wallet, so to speak, of the Talmud Chacham. Again, this is a whole another shiur. If everyone's interested, I have a whole shiur prepared for this, because the Rambam says that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to receive any gifts for the study of Torah. But anyway, most of the Mefarshim have other sources that you know, it's a great mitzvah to give a contribution for the sake of Torah. B'zeh Torah miskayemes. So that's what it means when it says that the Badim and the tabos have to always constantly be attached to the aron. These are the support systems, right? You pick up the aron with these poles, and those poles have to be kavua. And that means that the Talmud Chacham, from his perspective, has to be dedicated exclusively to his study of Torah. And yet, at the same time, the ashirim have to be dedicated nonstop and always relied upon to carry and sustain the Talmidei Chachamim, because li'olam abadim machzikim es ha'aron, heim somchim yedei Talmidei Chachamim. He's the Aron, He represents the Eidus Hashem and the Torah of Hashem, and the Badim represents those who support the Aron, and they are the Eitz Chaim Hilam Achzikim Ba. They have to always be there for him, and Lo Yosuru Mimenu, they're not allowed to discontinue that connection, that relationship, that dedication. And therefore the Yerushalmi says, Lo Lomad V'lo Limeid, Lo Shamar V'lo Asa, Lo Haisav Yod V'lo Hachzik, is a person who has the ability to be machzik Torah and he doesn't do so. He comes under the very harsh, you know, categorization of lo shomar v'lo asa. It's as if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Hashem lachein habadim kvuim bo tamid. Okay, fine. Now, what I'd like to fast forward for a moment, because I don't want to run out of time and we won't get to the punchline today, is to the Nefesh HaChaim. That's number 17. As you know, the Nefesh HaChaim was authored by whom? Don't all answer at once. Rab Chaim. Not the Chofetz Chaim. This is 100 years before the Chofetz Chaim. This is Rab Chaim Balozhin. He was the outstanding disciple of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon had about 5 disciples. He was not a big Rosh Hashiva in terms of numbers, but his impact was incredible on what we call the Lithuanian yeshiva movement. I mean, it all goes back to the Gaon, and the one who picked it up from the Gaon and really, you know, raised the banner and he was the leader pushing forward was Reb Chaim Volozhin. And he authored a number of works. Most of them are very, very difficult to understand. And the most difficult of them all is called the Nefesh HaChaim. All his books have the word Chaim into it because his name was Chaim. And the Nefesh HaChaim certainly understood what we saw before based on Midrashi Chazal, that the Aron is the semel, is the symbol of the Torah itself. The Badim, those poles that carry the Aron, are typical and symbolic of the Ashirim who are Matil Blai Likiso Shel Tamid Chacham, the Gemara Pesachim Nun Gimel. And they are the supporters of Torah, then the Machzike Torah, and they have to constantly be attached to the Aron. That the Nefesh HaChaim understood, and that was quite clear. So we know enough about the Badim, and why the Torah prohibits us, Lo Yasur Mimenu, and they had to be permanent. But now he wants to get into the issue of the Kruven. What is the symbol of the Kruvim, what do they represent, and how are they structured in the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu? So Reb Chaim Volozhin quotes a Gemara in Baba Basra, which you'll see number 15 on your page. Ketzad hein omdim, how did the Kruvim stand? And the Gemara quotes 2 opinions. One opinion is Pneam Ish El Achiv, that they faced each other. And the other opinion says that Pneem Labayis, they faced in the opposite direction, towards the base of English. This one on the right and this one on the left. And the Gemara asks, what about the pasuk that says Upneem Labayis? According to the first line of the Yom, they faced each other, but yet the pasuk says Upneem Labayis. And the Gemara answers that there are 2 periods of Jewish history. One is a period called Bizman She Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Mokom. And at that point, when the Jewish people are observing the Torah, then the 2 Kruvim face each other. But in a period of time when Ein Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Mokom, then it's called Pneem Labayis. Then it means they don't face each other. The Gemara then goes on and says, what about the Pasuk Pneem Ishel Achiv, according to the other man, the Omar? And he says, Dimitzadide Atzdude. In other words, even according to the Madi Omar, who says that the 2 faces respectively on each kaporis faced outwardly, but nevertheless, Mitzadide Atzdude, they faced a little bit on an angle towards each other. And the Gemara goes on to quote a Brisa in the name of Uncle Isager, who says the Kruvim were like tzatzuim heim, umitzudadim pneihem ketalmid aniftar meirabo. Anyway, everything here is all symbolic of Torah, as we'll see in the Nefesh HaChaim. Just before we go on, mitzadei yatzdudei, Rashi says in Baba Basra, k'tzas labayis u'k'tzas zeh l'zeh. Sometimes a person, even though he's talking to someone, he faces him, but he looks the other way. Maybe he's embarrassed, or he's modest, or whatever it might be. So the Nefesh HaChaim says, after quoting this entire Gemara, and here we'll have to take a look on page 3, which I think you have. He says that when the Gemara analyzes the Man Yomer that says that they were Pneim Labayis, and yet the objection was that the Pasuk says Ish El Achiv, how do you deal with that? The Gemara could have answered again the same answer, Kan Bizman Shisol Osim, Kan Bizman Shein Yisol Osim. But the answer is, the Gemara was focused on the primary structure of the Kruvim, and according to this Man Yomer, fundamentally Ikar Asiyas HaKruvim Pneim Labayis, they would face outward. Is therefore, it doesn't make any sense, Lo Hoyalem Laso Simon She'en Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shel Mokom, to say that they faced outwardly because it was a period of time when the Jews veered away from the right path. That doesn't make sense, because this is, according to that Man Yomer, the way that Shlomo Melch has to structure the Kruvim, that they're facing outwardly and not one towards the other. So to say that the way that the Kruvim have to be made in order to be Makadish, the Aron, and the Migdash is a way that's Ein Ritzono Shel Makom, that's very difficult. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that Mistoma Ham Midum Tchila, that the way they were meant to be set up was Lefima Shayu Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, the way that the Jewish people should look when they are fulfilling the will of God. Nu, if that be the case, l'chora, akati tikshe, loma hem midom tchila kruve shlomo pneim mitzudadim velo ish el achiv mamish. He says the following, again this is from a previous paragraph, he had already established that the extra two kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech was structured in a way that they weren't looking at each other. They were looking towards the bias. So now we have a fundamental difference, according to one Man Yomer at least, between the Kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan and the Kruvim of Shlomo in the Migdash. The first, the former, were facing outwardly, even though it's Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, because they looked a little bit towards each other. And yet, in the case of the Kruvim of Shlomo, it would seem that they weren't looking at each other at all. So there must be some fundamental difference between the Kruvim of Moshe and the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. And now he quotes the famous machlokas between Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Yisrael. I'm not going to take questions yet, because the reason why I can't take questions is because I don't have the punchline yet. Mm-hmm. So bear with me, and then we'll ask questions once we get the picture. So again, we're trying to understand the difference between the Kruvim of Moshe and the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech. So he quotes a famous machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that Bizman Shi Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. What does Osim Shel Ritzono Shel Makom mean? It means that they're not dedicated to work in the fields, but rather they're dedicated to the study of Torah. And the Gemara asks, if they're dedicated to the study of Torah, Shimon Bar Yochai, how are they going to support themselves? And the answer is, Malachtam Nases Al Yidei Acherim, that somehow they'll be supported by others. But if they're dedicated to going out to the fields and planting and harvesting the crop, that's called V'asafta Deganecha, that's Bizman She'en Yisrael Osim Ritzonim Shel Makom. That's only when they're not fulfilling the will of God. So in the ideal Ritzonim Shel Makom, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, they are totally exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah. However, who disagrees with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Rabbi Shmuel says no. V'asafta Deganecha, the Torah says, go out into the fields and plant and harvest your crop. V'asafta Deganecha, haneg bohen minog derech eretz. Now, Rav Chaim Volozhin doesn't understand. How do we understand the shita of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? The Torah says, V'asafta Deganecha. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that's because Ein Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. That doesn't make any sense. The parasha itself opens, the second parasha Kriyas Shema, Vayom Shema Tishmuel Mitzvos Aliyav Aliyavdo. The Torah is talking about those who are dedicated to Avos Hashem, and there it says V'yasafta digonecha. So what is Reb Shimon Bar Yochai saying over here, that it's Bizman She'ein Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Mokom? Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, let's go back to Rabbi Yishmael. Is Rabbi Yishmael telling us that Rishus Nesuna Li'odom Lifrosh Chas Mishalom Af Zman Muot Mi'esek HaTorah V'lasov B'parnosa? Is Rabbi Yishmael advocating that a person dedicate himself exclusively to Parnosa, and therefore since he's got Parnosa on his mind 24/7, Yevatel Me'esek HaTorah L'gamrei, he has no connection to the study of Torah? So he says no. Omnam Ramzu Rabbi Shmuel B'loshan HaKodesh B'loshan HaKodesh, if you take a look at the holy language, the phrase of Rabbi Shmuel, it says Hanig Bahem Minog Derech Eretz. What's the Hanig Bahem? What's the word Bahem? Bahem means Imahem. With them you should be Noeg Derech Eretz and go out and make a parnasa. So what's them? Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, Im Divrei Torah. Together with your Divrei Torah, you should be Noeg Parnasa Derech Eretz. Hainu. And here I want you to underline the next line. Shegam bi osa eis v'shamu etesh ata osik v'parnasa. Even when you're dedicated to parnasa, and you need to do so in order to keep yourself alive, al kol panim, nevertheless, he is still involved in divrei Torah. Now, how can you be planting and harvesting and still being osik b'Torah? He says that his physical body is involved in the planting and the harvesting. But rayono umachshavto, but his ideas and his thoughts are being maharer b'divrei Torah. Again, I don't know how feasible this is. I hope you don't cut yourself with a sickle. But v'chein rava amar l'talmidav. We go back to that sugya after the Gemara quotes the machlokas between Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara tells us about Rava. What did Rava? How did he instruct his talmidim? He said, you know, during the months of Nisan v'Tishrei, I don't want to see you here in the Beis Medrash because I want you to be involved in work. Those were the two main months of work out in the field for agriculture. But never did Rava mean to say that they should be, for those 2 months, they should be batel legamrei me'esek haTorah. Oh no, they should synthesize their work with Torah study. And the Gemara goes on to say that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was demanding a very harsh standard, that you know there's no time in the world for dedicating yourself to Parnosa. So the Gemara, the postscript to the Gemara is Harbe Asik Rabbi Yishmael Ve'Yolso Bi'Onam. The multitudes followed Rabbi Yishmael and they were very successful. But those who followed Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Lo Also Bi'Onam. They were not successful. And what does this mean? It doesn't mean that the Gemara is saying we're excluding Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but we're saying if it's Harbe, meaning if it's Rabim, then it's not going to be successful. You cannot set it up in which the majority of the Jewish people will follow in the dictum of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Ki vadai lechlal hamon, when we're talking about the majority of people, it's impossible that they should dedicate themselves exclusively day and night to the study of Torah and not give some, at least minimal amount of time dedicated to Parnasa. Because kol Torah she'ina melacha sofa b'teila goreris avon, we need melacha. Aval yachid, you know, if you have an individual, he's the yotzei dofen, he's the exceptional case, he can dedicate himself, like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's recommendation, all his days to Torah. And if he does so, if he takes that upon himself, then he doesn't have a spare minute to dedicate to Parnasa, and since he's Osek b'Ritzono Shel Mokom, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that Malachto Nasis Al Yedei Acherim. That's Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. But the Pasuk itself that says V'yasafta D'Gonecha, which is in the Parsha Vayim Shemoa, who mutza michlal parshas vayisha kula never b'loshen rabim. It's very interesting that the pasuk v'yasafta all of a sudden shifts its grammatical, from the grammatical plural to the grammatical singular, Upasik via safta nemar biloshan yachid. Why? Lachain kari bitle ain osa ritzona shalmaku shafana atzmo afmaat liyesek parnosa. Says Rabbi Akiva, says Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Why does this pasuk shift from the rabbim to the yachid? Because now the pasuk is no longer addressing the rabbim. You know, if you're addressing the rabbim, then vayim shamoa, and then of course you have to dedicate time for parnasa. But if it's addressing itself to the yachid who wants to dedicate himself exclusively to Torah, like Rav Shimon bar Yochai's recommendation, then if it's vasafta, then it's eino osa ritzona shel makom. That's not what Hashem wants. In other words, it's an either all endeavor, according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Either you dedicate some part of your time to support yourself, or you choose the other path, and you're exclusively dedicated to the study of Torah. And then there's no viasafta to ganecha. There's no allowance for time for to distract yourself. Okay, now we get to the kruvim. There are two kruvim. One kruv, according to Chazal, symbolizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second kruv symbolizes or represents Klal Yisrael, the Am Segula. And how close are these two? What kind of relationship do they have? If they have a relationship of Dveikus, Klal Yisrael or Dveik, then that's a shear of his karvus that's going to be reflected in the fact that it's Ish El Achiv, that they face each other. And that was Nikar from the Kruvim. If you wanted to know what was the level of dedication of Klal Yisrael, all you had to do was look at the Kruvim. Im Pneam Yashar Yechzu Olav Yisbarach Shmo Gama Kruvim Omdoz Pneam Ish El Achiv. If they were dedicated to Hashem, and that was the Dveikus, then they each faced each other. But Im Hafku Pneam Yat, Umit Saturday Yitzduday, Is Kena Yenikar Inyan Take Up the Kruvim, then it would be Nikar and the Kruvim that they weren't totally dedicated to Hashem, and therefore the Kruvim looked in different directions. Oim Chas V'Sholom Hifnu Oref, if they were completely, so to speak, off the Derech, not just that they were split, but they were left the Derech, then Chas V'Sholom the Kruvim would Hafchu Pneam Ishmael Achiv Legamre Chas V'Sholom, they were looking totally in different directions. Oh. Now fast forward, Vehine Dor HaMidbar. What's the difference between the generation of Shlomo, where there were only two Kruvim, and generation of Moshe and the generation of Shlomo? In the generation of Moshe, where were they? The Mishkan existed where?
In the Midbar.
What happened in the Midbar? Where, how did they survive in the Midbar?
The man.
There was no work. There was Ein Esek Parnosa at all. And therefore, what's called Ritzono Shel Makom in a period of time when you have no need to go out and work, it's got to be total dedication only exclusively to Torah and serving Hashem. In Cain, Hayim Istaklim Klape Mala B'Yosher Gamur, they turned to Hashem with a total reliance on Hashem, and they committed themselves exclusively to Torah. And they feared Hashem, and lo yamushu sefer Torah v'zemi picha yom v'layla. And they didn't look in any direction whatsoever. And this was therefore the situation of the Kruvim. The Kruvim reflect hayu osim ritzono shel makom pneim el achiv mamish. That would be a clear-cut demonstration of the fact that they were totally and exclusively dedicated to Torah. However, now we get fast forward to the period of time of Shlomo Melech. Here, Hayu Klal Hamon Yisrael Tzrichim Uchrochel Intels Miat El Tzad Liesek HaParnosa. At the time of Shlomo Melech, they weren't in the Midbar. There was no man coming down from Shemayim. They certainly had to dedicate themselves, or at least most of the people of Israel, to Parnosa Kedei Chai Nefesh, in order to sustain themselves. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, that's exactly what God wants. That's the pasuk v'yasafta d'gonecha. And certainly, l'rabim tfei orech l'mevad hachi. And certainly, yofet talmud torim derech eretz. There has to be an integration of Torah and malacha and parnasa. And if without the malacha, it's goreris amon. It's a terrible thing. And therefore, kol mili di avis, mili di chasidusa ninhu. And therefore, we have to follow the ethical mandates of our avos. That's called midas chasidus. Rak shegam b'yis oskem parnasa. But it's not enough that they dedicate themselves to Parnasa, because even during those moments that we saw in Reb Chaim, Yei Libam Noeg B'Chachma, their hearts and their minds are focused on Hira B'Divrei Torah. Therefore, Hamidu Oz B'Tchila Sakruvim V'Vi Mashahayu Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. Now the two Kruvim of Moshe are not sufficient. The two Kruvim of Moshe could certainly reflect the Osim Ritzono Shel Makom at the time of the Midbar, at the time of the Man. And they looked at each other because they were totally dedicated to each other. You know, the kruv that represented Klal Yisrael was totally dedicated to Dveikus and Hashem. But when we get to Shlomo HaMelech, those two kruvim are not enough. Those two kruvim might be enough for Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's miut, you know, of those few people far between who can dedicate themselves totally and exclusively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the two kruvim of Moshe in the Mikdash of Shlomo represented the miut. But what was the ratzon shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as far as the majority is concerned, the Ravim? That would have to be V'asafta deganecha, and therefore the pneum would be mitzudadim ma'at. And as while they're dedicated to Parnasa, they're looking a little bit towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get the hearer of Torah. But he says, im kol zeh hayu me'urim kemar ish v'loyos b'panim shel chibo l'haros chibosa yisbarach etzlenu shezeh ikar ritzono yisbarach. So that the fact that they were partially turned towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu would mean that there was a panim yafo shel chibo that Hashem would approve and admire. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the kruvim of Shlomo and midam tchilu fi masha osu ritzonos shel machom, and then if you're like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, it would be pneum yishal echav. But if you're holding like if you're holding like Rabbi Yishmael, it would be pneum yishal echav, because that's the ideal. The ideal is that they go out to work, but they're always being mahar v'divrei Torah, and that's called dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Akiva holds no. That's not enough to reach the level of dveikus. That's good for the extra kruvim of Shlomo, but as far as the kruvim of Moshe, and they were also in the Mikdash, they had to represent those yechidim, those individuals who were totally exclusively dedicated to Torah study. And therefore, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the structure and the positioning of the kruvim at the time of Shlomo split into two. There were two kruvim that were identical to the two kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they faced one to the other. They were ish al echov, and that's going to be considered bisman shalosim rotzon k'shemarim, because that represents the ideal of the people who are dedicated exclusively to Torah. But as far as the generation is concerned, we needed another set of kruvim, which would not be ish el achiv. Why? Because there has to be some distraction, so to speak, and the requirement is v'yasafta deganecha. There's no man, and once it's v'yasafta deganecha, there's some part of the human being that's distracted by the work that he has to do. But yet, it would still have to be mitzadadim zelazeh, because HaKadosh Baruch wants to show that indeed is his ratzon. And now we get to page 4, and if we can get through page 4 of Osai, I'll be a very happy camper. And we're back to the Be'er Yosef. You remember that the Be'er Yosef had asked the question, what is the message inherent in the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech? And he quotes the pieces that we saw in the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin. And he says the following. Based on Reb Chaim, the Kruvim and the way they were structured was a Horah teaching as far as the Esek of Torah and Avodah is concerned. And as far as dedicating ourselves to Derech Eretz in Parnasa, he says, now we can begin to understand that during the Midbar there were only two Kruvim. Why? Because there was no need for a different method or a different approach to serve Hashem. It was purely Ish El Achiv exclusively. And not only that, here's the Chiddush of the Be'er Yosef. Why is it that the Kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu are a direct attachment to the Kaporis. Are we all on the same page here? In other words, the Kruvim of Shlomo was standing on the ground, but the Kruvim of Moshe were the extension of the Kaporis. They were attached to the Kaporis. And Shlomo HaMelech added another two Kruvim, Hayu Nosaf Lishnei Eile Shahayu Ala Aron Hayu Od Shnei Gedolim Shaomdim Al Haaretz. Why is that? V'gam Mashakulam Hayu Domim Ki Revia, meaning like a baby. Why do they have the face of a baby? Afshenasa Kol Baruch HaKodesh. And even though Shlomo HaMelech obviously got the ksav from his father David HaMelech, Miyad Hashem, but nevertheless we have to understand what's the message over here. So the answer is that during the course of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, when they were in the Midbar and they were dedicated exclusively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to his Torah without any distraction whatsoever, they were like a baby. Why is there a symbolic message of a baby? A katan in Chazal is called a katan ha-samach al shulchan aviv, if he's very, very young, in infancy. Totally dependent upon, you know, the support that he gets from his parents. He doesn't earn his living, a little baby, right? And therefore, the kruvim with domi militinok, why? Because there was nothing lacking. It's like a baby who nurses from its mother. He gets everything in his mother's milk. And therefore, there was an absolute obligation incumbent upon every single Jew to be shoked al Torah, exclusively Torah study, not looking to the right or to the left, not being distracted in any sort of way. And therefore, the Kruvim were part of the Kaporis itself. Asus Kruvim Masa Achas Im Mina Kaporis Atzmo. Because again, the Kaporis is connected to the Torah. And how do you protect the Torah? And the answer is through these kruvim that are part of the kaporis that covers the aron. There's no way that you're allowed to remove in any shape or form the kruvim from the kaporis. They're connected to the kaporis from the beginning of their creation. And this is a remez to teach us and all of Klal Yisrael that they needed to dedicate themselves to Dveikus in Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu exclusively, Lo Yomush Sefer HaPorah Zemipiyah. But now in the paragraph Ulam, but at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that the thrust of Klal Yisrael, right, the majority of Klal Yisrael, they were Ish Tachas Gafno, Ish Tachas Te'eno. They were busy with Harisha and Zriya and so forth and Ketzira and everything else. Now we have to have a different mode of Avodas Hashem. What's the mode of Hashem? Shlomo has to build in the Mikdash another two kruvim, very large kruvim, Eser Amos high. And the width was the width of the entire Kodesh Kodashim, 5 Amos. And Hamidah, where did he set them up? On the Aretz. And this is going to teach Klal Yisrael that HaKlal Kula, meaning the general public of the Jewish nation, they're not going to be completely connected to the Aron. They have to go out and work the land. They have to produce food from the land. But Ulam, Gam Osam, Asa Tzuras Kruvim, even they were made as babies. Lahoros Lem Ladas, they should know, Shafal Pisha Oskim Bavodas Adoma, even though they're dedicated to Parnasa, nevertheless, they shouldn't be exclusively dedicating themselves to the work and the harvesting and so forth and so on, to constantly want to get more and more and more. Elitzrichim Shiyasu Torosam Kva, the Ikar, the primary goal and focus should still be Torah study, and the Malacha is secondary. And therefore, their focus and their minds and their hearts is primarily on the Torah of Hashem and serving Hashem. And therefore, they should not ever entertain the thought that kochi v'yotzim yodi osalias hakayel hazeh. But no, bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I'm doing the work and I'm out there harvesting the crop, but it's all coming from the Yad Hashem. God is supervising his hashgacha patos on everything. Hu morish ma'ashpir mashpil meromem. And therefore, if a person is always connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's got Hirhurei Torah, he's thinking about God. Even when he's working, he's like the Tinok Olel Vionek. The Tinok Olel Vionek is totally dependent upon what? On its mother, or Al Shulchan Aviv. So too, even when we're going out to work, we still have to know that the two Kruvim of Shlomo Melech, they represent the Aretz, the working in the land of Yosef and Ganecha, even they are similar to the faces of babes, because even they are totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the message inherent in the second Kruvim, that those of Shlomo Melech, that on the one hand, they are omdim al ha'aretz, for the Hamon Beis Yisrael, they are rooted in the ground, meaning dedicated to what? To avoda and to malacha, but at the same time, they are absolutely connected to the Aron, to the Torah, and the faces on these Kruvim, like the faces of the Kruvim of Moshe, were the faces of a Tinok that's totally dependent upon others. We too, even though we go out for Malach and Avodah, nevertheless, we realize, we acknowledge that all the income that we have is coming from the Yad Hashem. And therefore, and with this we'll have to conclude, he says in the paragraph, Yomnam, Elu Nasu Lahoros Klal Hamon Ha'am. We can't forget about the two Kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, even during the period of time of Shlomo, because Shlomo Amel's additional Kruvim are conveying a message to the Hamon Am. But as far as the Yechidim are concerned, there we need a set of Kruvim that are Pneim, not Mitzudah de Ma'at, that are not on the ground, but rather they are attached to the Kruvim and to the Aron in a way that's a natural connection. This is called Torasum Naso. This is called Vigisiba Yom Valaila, Yom Sefer Torah Min Picha, Yom Valaila. They have to be dedicated exclusively to the Amelus and the Yegiyah B'Torah. They are the ones who are going to try to reap or to dissect and analyze the Torah and remove from the Torah, but bring out from the Torah the halacha, the way we have to live, and they have to be totally dedicated to Hashem. Therefore, that set of Kruvim, even in the Mishkan, even in the Mikdash of Moshe, of Shlomo Melech, Tzrichim em Lios Tamid, Pnuyim, Bechol Maseh u'machshava, they should not in any way be distracted. They are like Shevet Levi, which the Rambam writes at the end of Shemitah B'Yovel, are totally exclusively dedicated to serve Hashem. And therefore, since they cannot cut off their machshavos and their rayonos from Hashem, they could never be distracted to dedicate themselves to Michya and Kalkol and Parnosa. Therefore, they have to be Ish El Achiv. They have to be totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even though Shlomo Melech had the additional two Kruvim that were situated on the Karka to direct the message towards Ish Tachas Gafno, but at the same time, he had to have the two Kruvim on the Aro. Now, which Kruvim were larger?
Shlomo's
two Kruvim, because that's the majority of the Jewish people, but there had to be two smaller Kruvim from Moshe Rabbeinu's Kruvim, and they were representative of those who are completely connected to the Kapores, to the Aron, to the Torah. They are the Bnei Aliyah Yechidei Skula that have to be tamid, absolutely, exclusively dedicated to Mishmeres HaTorah, to Torah and Avodas Hashem, and they will have to raise the flag of Torah. They will, in essence, cover over and protect Rucham Shel Das Moshe V'Yisrael. They are Tamin Ish Pneim El Echav B'li Lefnot Yamin Usmol, without any Natiya. And that's what those two Kruvim have to represent. Again, they're smaller Kruvim, but they have the same image. They look like babies. They realize that they're totally dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those are the Yechidei Skula that exist in all generations and in all periods of time. I think, Rabosai, again, there's a lot more here, but what we were able to get for, as a message for ourselves, is that from the period of Shlomo Melech on, including not just the first Mikdash, the second Mikdash, but all the goals that we live in today, it's got to be, number one, that we, as the representatives of the Hamon Am, of the people, you know, that are dedicated to Oretz, and we are Safdus Ganecha, nevertheless, we never disconnect ourselves from Torah, and we realize that everything that we get is not kochi v'yotzim yodi, it's not a result of what we put in, but rather what Hashem provides us. And number two, every generation needs desperately those yechidei skula who are in charge of being exclusively dedicated to Hashem, like the people of Israel on the whole at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu when they ate from the man. It's got to be for those yechidei skula, Torah Hashem, Higayon b'Torah Hashem, Yomav Alayla, Yomav Sefer Torah. They are the ones who are going to be in charge of protecting Klal Yisrael, of teaching Klal Yisrael Hilchasa, the Halachas, and teaching us how to observe Hashem Yiratzim v'Yizocher to both sets of Kruvim, and both representations in Klal Yisrael as a synthesis of the great Becha Espoir, the Tiferes of Klal Yisrael, Ken Yiratzon. Amen. Doc, you wanted to ask me something before, and I'm sorry, I just wanted to make sure that I would get to the punchline before the clock, which is my worst enemy.
Talk about the Kruvim of Shlomo, it's the big ones, that's what I mean. And the small ones are the...
Right, the larger ones, which are described here in the Psukim as Kruvim Atzei Shemen, they came from a certain particular type of tree, which is called Eitz Shemen, were Eser Amos Bekomoso. And that's a humongous crew.
You know. What were they made of, right?
Eights. They were made of eights. He goes into a discussion about that later on. Why eights? Eights represents the earthiness and the orets. Okay, we'll stop here.